Hello, everybody, and welcome to God Quest. I am delighted you're here with us today, and I am so honored today to have a dear friend and a mentor for a long time, Bishop Johnny King from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Points Beyond. So glad to have you on God Quest today, Brother King.
Thank you.
Today I want to talk about Hope Corps. Most of you are probably aware that Dr. King is also the head and director of Hope Corps, which is a very powerful growing force in the apostolic movement. So first of all, Brother King, just kind of give us a little information for those that may not know what Hope Corps is. Just kind of what's the idea, what's the ethos of it, and just kind of get the ball rolling here about what Hope Corps is.
Well, Hope Corps began as an outgrowth of the Global Missions Council of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship about 2009. And several of us, the original board of directors was Pastor Miles Young and Bishop Wilson, Steve Buxton, B.J. Wilmoth, and myself, and we developed a program, for lack of a better word, for the development of, at that time, basically young people. But since then, of course, it's broadened and it's developed into something much, much greater than just for young people. But initially, we focused on recent high school graduates. And we wanted to see, in the world, there's something called a gap year, where after high school, young people take a gap year, 1 year, to see the world, travel, think about what they want in life, and before they invest the next 4, 6, or 8 years in university education, they get some hands-on experience, maybe, in something like Peace Corps or an overseas mission. Anyway, we wanted to do something for apostolic youth. So we created Hope Corps, which was a joint effort of Wilson University and, at that time, the Global Missions Council, and provided high school grads with some university education so they could get 4 courses under their belt. And then after that, they had invested a year and their time and finances in getting those 4 courses, we had what we called an ITW, or Intensive Training Week. The idea was almost like basic training in the military, but not quite as severe. And so it was a tremendous success. Our very, very first ITW was in 2010. I believe we had about 22, no more than 22 students. They were all young people, and they called themselves the Crocs. And the ITW was in Belize.
That's right.
Central America.
And you did two there.
We did two. Yeah. 2010, 2011. And then since then, it exploded. And it's no longer only for young people, but we've had pastors' wives, evangelists. We've had retirees. We've had grandparents. It's become a very, very large thing. We've had, I think, at this point, more than 2,500 people register for Hope Corps since that time.
Wow. So, in my recollection, you've had Hope Corps Belize, Honduras, Italy, the Philippines. What am I missing?
Manhattan,
Los Angeles, and
Norway.
Norway, that's correct. And soon on the docket, possibly Mexico next year. So this is a growing thing. If you're not familiar with Hope Corps, it is an incredible program. As a pastor, I have had over 120 people in my church go through and graduate, complete the ITW. And I'll just put it this way. As a pastor, these people are driving and pushing much of what has been done in my church.
A life change.
Yes. They come home not only inspired, but obviously, who doesn't benefit from a year of study of the things of God, cultural discussions, missional discussions, doctrine discussions? I mean, not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a missionary. I have had the privilege of teaching in a number of these intensive training weeks, and I always begin my sessions with, how many of you feel called to ministry? So I would say the average, if there's 30 students in the room, there may be 4 to 5 that feel called to preach. So if you got the perception, well, I'm not going to be a preacher, Hope Corps is really not for me, that is not the case at all. Because we're watching men and women that have gone through Hope Corps that are now, what have we been doing this, 13 years? 13 years, some of those young people that were 18 are now very successful. I think one of the very first group, I'm thinking of Curtis Hendricks. I think it was one of the Crocs, original group at Belize from the very first one. He is now a very successful attorney in Sacramento Law. And he's not a preacher, but heavily, his wife leads our school. He's an attorney, just an incredible family. And both he and his wife are alumni.
And they were both Crocs.
That's right.
They were both at the very first ITW.
Yeah, so this is not just for missionaries, not just for preachers. This is for men and women. I love the idea of the gap year, kind of, you know, you're in Israel. One of the things you do is Premier Bible Land Tours, I think's the name of
like.
And one of the things that I've noticed about Israel in particular, and you could speak to this probably even more, is there's a love. Obviously, we know that the sacredness of that land to the people of Israel, but there's something that happens to those young men and women by having to go serve a year in the Israeli military. That 1 year shapes that. I see Hope Corps in the same kind of sense that we are apostolic, and Hope Corps is filling that gap, if you will. Maybe we need to have shirts that say mind the gap. That Hope Corps provides a place to buy in to this faith that we're a part of. It exposes us to a world beyond our locale. And as a pastor, I love it every time a young person or even a young married couple comes to me and say, hey, I want to join Hope Corps, because I know what happens at the end of it. I really feel that way. You, Brother King, pastored a very successful church. You dug out, you took a small group of people in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, built an amazing church now pastored by Brother Douglas Walker, a very dear friend of mine. What role do you see Hope Corps playing in the life of a church?
I think Hope Corps puts flesh to the bones and the skeleton of what every pastor has taught his people. You know, any competent pastor has taught his saints, young people maybe growing up in church, going to Sunday school, youth services, and so forth. Every pastor has taught these new converts and young people the doctrine.
Yeah.
And how to live for God, and provided the skeleton and the bones. And I see Hope Corps as putting the flesh on the skeleton. And it, how many people have we seen come through, and at the end of their intensive training week said, you know, my pastor's taught this all my life, but it's just like this turned the light on. This helped me to understand what my pastor's been teaching and talking about. I'm ready to go home and help him now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go home and be the worker and the doer and hold up my pastor's hands and do whatever needs to be done. So I see this as being a life giver in any local church. This is going to provide an army.
So this is not something other than a local church.
I know. So, as a musician, this is the way I think of Hope Corps, is I took piano lessons, I took guitar lessons, I took bass lessons growing up. In all of those cases, there were what we call recitals that we would, it was a point where everything that we had been practicing, studying, learning from our weekly teacher that we worked on every day, there was a recital 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road. And I remember those recitals, they did as much for me in that I may have only played one song at that recital, but it was getting me out of the daily grind of learning, practicing, sitting with the teacher. Now, all right, it's not, it's easy. You're going to be on a stage and people's going to be listening. It's out of the norm, and there's something that happens in a recital. That's why teachers do it. The out of the ordinary, the out of the box, awakens everything that's been in there. And I don't know how to explain it, but every teacher knows that when that recital happens, there's something that takes place in that musician that, oh, they get it, or it's a plateau that they break through. I see these ITWs and Hope Corps as the daily teaching, the life of ministry of a pastor with a saint, doctrine being poured into them, and then Hope Corps comes along and provides a recital, a way to get out of the box, to get out of for 9 months of training, and then pilots are flying over us right now. We're two pilots. Some of y'all may not know, he's a former pilot. But even that, think about it, what just happened. We had check rides and we had solo flights. They put you in a plane and say, you got to go fly by yourself. And I see Hope Corps is providing that. It's going to force you to act upon what your pastor and what those men of God have put into you. It's an opportunity for the recital.
Exactly. And I, you know, one of our top lessons at every ITW is being your pastor's MVP,
yeah,
most valuable person. And if pastors knew,
yeah,
what we were teaching their saints, every one of them would have a waiting list to join Hope Corps. They'd say, you've got to go. And beyond that, this is personal for me because I was raised in the church. I had already felt my call to preach. I was sitting on the platform. My pastor, I had one of the greatest pastors in the apostolic movement.
An icon.
His name was I.H. Terry. Tremendous Bible teacher, strong on the doctrine, great man, pastored, built a great church in Bakersfield, California. You know, as a young person and a teenager, he saw something in me and asked me to sit on the platform. That's how he started developing young men.
Uh-huh.
He'd say, I want you to sit on the platform. Well, I was already doing that. But when I graduated from high school, I didn't have a plan. I had no plan.
Fair.
So for failure of a plan, I did something foolish. I joined the U.S. military. I joined the Air Force. Because at 18, I'd reached my goal of graduating from high school. Now what?
Yeah.
Because I had no plan, I felt like I needed to do something, but I didn't have a Hope Corps. And so I gave 4 years of my life to the U.S. military. That was not the perfect will of God. God was merciful to me and God kept me, but 4 years that I could have given to God, that belonged to God rightfully. And so now I see young people and I tell them, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through, do not join the military. Do not join the military. You know, if there
had been about that,
you know I do. If there had been Hope Corps, I would have joined Hope Corps. I loved God. I loved the church. I loved my pastor. There was no Hope Corps. That would have saved me. I could have invested 1 year in Hope Corps
and then been so far ahead in my ministry than to go 4 years in the U.S. Air Force.
I just recently listened to a podcast with some key secular leaders, and one of the discussions was based upon college debt. How many people leave university with enormous college debt? And the issue was, how many of them do not even pursue a career in what they went to college for? And they were stressing that what they would like to see, these were key leaders in the secular world, and they're saying our society and young people would be better off for their future if they would slow down for 1 year to give thought. They're out of high school. Many times they're just rushing into a college career. They don't have a plan. They really don't know what they're going to do. They just go join a college. They sign up for a major. They get stuck in this cycle, and they get out, and then there's not even a job in it. They join because their friends joined, or they watched a movie, or they saw something. Well, I want to do that. That looked like a cool thing. These were secular writers saying somebody needs to slow young people down to get a plan for their future to save themselves from heartache. I think Hope Corps is a perfect scenario that even the secular people are identifying. Man, don't just rush into life without a plan. Well, think about it from a God perspective. Hope Corps allows us to stop a moment, tie ourselves to our doctrine on faith. Now, that's not going to hurt us. It's not slowing us down at all.
Most college students change their major twice before graduation.
Wow.
Because they don't know what they want to do.
Yeah.
They just feel like they need to go get an education. Well, I mean, Hope Corps is, for apostolics, Hope Corps is brilliant.
So you can probably tell we're passionate about Hope Corps. And this is a God quest. And we kind of talk about things. We talk about history. We talk about the future. We talk about books. But concerning the future and this quest to find what God's path is for your life, I don't know of anything that's going to impact you in a more positive way than your personal relationship with God. The initial filling with the Holy Ghost. Hope Corps is huge. And we're actually here. The reason it's a little bit noisier is that we're at the Hope Corps Challenge Week in Birmingham, Alabama right now. We stepped out of the classes to come do this interview. Dr. King, thank you for being on the podcast today. It's a wide, big world of wonder out there. Get on this journey with us and see what God will do for your life. God bless you. I'll see you next time on God Quest. We'll be right back.